Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate each one of you being here with us. And again, I want to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us online through our live streaming. We appreciate you being with us as well. We are in a study of last things, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But before we begin our lesson this morning, a couple of things I want to remind you about. This evening at 5 o'clock, we're going to be having our homemade ice cream competition. And so encourage you to come back for that. Bring your homemade ice cream if you want to enter into the competition. If you don't, you don't do homemade ice cream, just bring some ice cream, whatever else you want to have with it, some drinks, other things. Brownies always go good with ice cream. That's just a hint. I'm just saying, okay? But that's what we're doing. So this is our end of the summer get-together fellowship. You know, school starts next week. Some folks have already started school, but school starts, I think, for everybody the first Tuesday after Labor Day. So we're getting at the end of the summertime, and that's what we're doing. The big question tonight is, who will go home with the Golden Scoop Award for our homemade ice cream competition? All right? So that's tonight, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Another thing, yes, also to remind you that we've invited the Petersburg congregation to join us for this evening. Reminder that the annual Labor Day community barbecue at the Carlson Street Church is on September the 3rd. And that will be at the park that's located right across the street from the church building. Begins at 11 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. And so just encourage you to come out. They're inviting everybody to come. So if you want to go and enjoy that fellowship and time with the brethren over at Carlson Street. All right? And then on September the 4th, which is next week, we'll be having a fellowship meal immediately after our morning worship service. And we've invited the Petersburg congregation to come to that also. So please keep that in mind. Plan accordingly that we are expecting to have some guests with us for that. All right? So there is one other thing I need to remind everybody. Over the last week, we've had at least two occasions. One last Sunday when I showed up at the building, the alarm was not on and the front door was unlocked. And I think it was yesterday that Beverly and Wes were here, and the same thing. If you are the last person that's here, whatever you're here for, please make sure that you set the alarm and you lock the door before you leave, okay? Because it's just a reminder to everybody. Please check and make sure. Make sure you're the last one here. You don't want to lock the door and set the alarm with somebody still here, okay? But if you're the last one, please double check to make sure that the door is locked and the alarm is set, all right? Just a reminder of that. Okay, we started this out, six opportunities to share with you some last things. We are now down to four. Number four here, things to share with you, and these opportunities that I have of last things that I want to impress upon you. Before we begin into that, I'll just remind you of the calendar that we have coming up. This is also to impress upon all the guys. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the back for those guys who would like to fill in as far as teaching Bible class and preaching. Because after the 25th, Brian Baer is going to be speaking on the 25th of September, and after that, nobody is scheduled. So we need to get some guys to sign up for that and plan to do some speaking. You don't have to give a long lesson. Doesn't have to be polished or anything like that. You just got to share God's Word and let the Spirit speak through you to the folks that will be here that day. Don't be afraid. If you're afraid, then that will keep you from allowing God to use you as He wants to use you, guys. So hear me on that, and be willing to sign up and help the congregation with that. So here's our schedule. The last time that I'm going to be speaking with you is on the 18th of September, and then we're going to South Carolina, take some things down there on the 22nd, and We're hoping to move our closing date on the house down there to the 22nd. So that's still, we haven't had that confirmed yet. We'll be back on the 25th that evening. We're going to do our last minute packing, everything we need to do. And then on the 28th, we're going to load our truck. Okay? Anybody would like to come and help load a truck? We'll be there probably starting around 9 o'clock in the morning to do that. And then we leave out of here on Thursday morning the 29th. Okay? So, six things. Six of the most important things that in my heart I want to share with you as I have these last opportunities to do that. Okay? As I've said before, the things that I'm sharing with you aren't anything new. They're not anything you haven't already heard before, but they are some of the most important things that I feel to remind you about. Okay? These are the things that I really want you to remember the most about all the things that I have shared with you in the time I've been here. Okay? And as I have told you, the whole goal of this and the purpose is to prepare all of us for the end times. The day of the Lord is coming. Okay? He's coming. We don't know when that's going to be. Cindy and I are leaving on the 29th, but I really do hope to see every single one of you one day in heaven. And so I want to impress these things upon you as a reminder so we can see each other again, if not in this life, in the next. Okay? So this morning we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics is the cross of Jesus. But more specifically, we're talking about taking up our cross. Okay? And here's a question I want you to be thinking about and considering through this. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to take up your cross? Because different people have different ideas of what that means. And there is one particular idea that is it's really misleading, and it causes a lot of people to not have the proper concept of what it means to take up your cross. We're going to talk about that. We need to understand the importance of the message of the cross. The Apostle Paul tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, people that don't understand Jesus and they don't understand what the cross is all about, they don't want to hear it, it's foolishness to them. They don't understand the concept of God dying for their sins. So he says to them, they're perishing because they won't accept Jesus. That's foolishness. But he says, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And as we were talking about in our Bible class time this morning, it's all about the cross. It's all about the blood of Jesus. That's what saves us. You see? It's the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. What we just finished celebrating here a few moments ago and remembering. You see? It is the power of God to save us. Okay? So, what does it mean to you specifically to take up your cross? And then secondly, how relevant is that to your everyday life? This concept of taking up your cross. All right, so let's take a look at some things about that cross. And one of the most important things to keep in mind about the cross is that the cross had only one purpose. It was singular in purpose. Crosses were used to execute people. Okay, they weren't just simply used even just to die on. They were used to execute people. All right? Back in history, the Phoenicians are the ones who really developed the concept of crucifixion. Okay? They started it, historians will tell us. But the Romans who came afterwards really took that concept and perfected it. They had crucifixion down to an art. And they used it not just to execute people, but they used it in a lot of ways for a lot of different reasons. It was used primarily for slaves, okay, for local people and for the lowest types of criminals. Those were the ones who typically were crucified. All right? And historians will tell us that there were oftentimes hundreds, if not thousands of people that were crucified on a road, for instance. And the reason for that is because it was also an act of trying to humiliate people and to warn other people not to go against the Romans. If you go against Rome, this is what's going to happen to you. It's interesting that usually Roman citizens were not subject to crucifixion. Okay? They had, you know, it was just, if you were a Roman citizen, they'd execute you, but do it in a different way. And that speaks to the horrible things that crucifixion really was all about. Also, another thing about the cross is the curse, the humiliation aspect of it. If a man is guilty, and this is from Deuteronomy 21, is guilty of a capital offense, that is one that called for his death, all right, then he is to be put to death and his body is hung on a tree. You must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day. And look at this last line. Because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. So we see that what's associated with the crucifixion, hanging someone on a tree, it was considered even a curse from God. And then look at what it says about Jesus in Galatians chapter 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus was hung on a tree, a cross. And he became a curse for us. And that was the stigma, that was the humiliation of what a crucifixion brought upon a person. And Jesus went through that for every single one of us. The Apostle Paul further writes in Philippians, your attitude should be that the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and look at this, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. You see how the idea of dying on a cross was something that really stood out to people. It was not an ordinary death. Okay? Secular writers of the time shrink from giving detailed accounts of this most cruel and degrading of all forms of punishment. The Illustrated Bible Dictionary, that's how they explain it. It was so horrific, a death by crucifixion, that writers at that time didn't even like to write about it, to describe what would happen to a person who is crucified. That's how bad it was. But that's what Jesus went through for us. Okay? The second thing I want you to keep in mind is that we talk about the symbol of a new movement, and certainly Christianity was a new movement. And whenever someone is starting a new movement, and we've seen a lot of that happening over the last few years, especially in this country, whether it's Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter to have their own symbols and so forth, whether it's cancer, there's a ribbon for all kinds of various different color ribbons for various forms of cancer that people have. And one of the things that's been going on for several decades now, but really at a peak, is the abortion issue. And people have their own signs, their own logos, their own things that draw attention to their cause. Okay? Whatever that symbol is, when you see that, you know what that person stands for. That's the whole idea of it. And Jesus used the most unlikely symbol of his day. Okay? And that was a cross. Everybody in Jesus' day knew what a cross was for. They knew what a cross symbolized. When you talked about a cross, there was no question in anybody's mind what that meant. It meant one thing and one thing only, and that was death. And that's really important to keep in mind as we consider what Jesus had to say in challenging people to follow him. Okay? Because that meant everything in terms of what they understood he was saying. That was his sign that he would hold up to draw people to himself. In fact, what he did was he used that symbol, the symbol of the cross, to draw followers and repel fans. Okay? Keep that in mind, right? Because there would be a lot of people who would hear what Jesus was saying and would go, that's not something I want to go through. I'm not willing to follow you to a cross. So Jesus used it for both things. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross daily and follow me. And for some people, they would go, yes. But for a lot of people, they would go, no. I can't do that. Okay? So the question is, do we want to be a fan or do we want to be a follower? Okay? Jesus doesn't want fans. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for followers. And followers are the ones who will take up their cross and follow him. But again, the question remains, what does that mean? To take up your cross. Jesus referred to himself in being lifted up. And references back even to Moses' day. Just as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was referring at that moment to being lifted up on the cross, to being hung on the cross. Okay? In John chapter 12, he says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth," again, a reference to being crucified on a cross, "the result will be, will draw all people to myself." So you see, Jesus knew what he was getting ready to face. He knew that he was going to die on a cross. He would be hung on a tree, hung on a cross. He would suffer and die. But he also knew what that would accomplish, and that would be the forgiveness of our sins. And so he was willing to do that for you and for me. Okay? The shameful spectacle of a victim carrying the patibulum, which was the cross piece. Very rarely, I understand from historians, that anybody carried the whole cross. Okay, they would carry the cross piece to wherever they were going to be put on the cross. But understand that spectacle, when someone saw a person carrying that patibulum on their shoulders, on their back, that was so familiar to the people of Jesus' day, okay, that Jesus spoke of that three different times, that the road of discipleship is that of cross-bearing. In other words, people understood that's what it meant. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to carry the cross. And that's the picture that people would have in their mind. The only question from there is, am I willing to do it or am I not? Okay? He puts it this way. If anyone would come after me, he could, would, should, no, he must. Okay? That's not an option, in other words. Okay? It's not an option. Musk leaves no, as we refer to, wiggle room. Okay? And we need to understand that. That's as Jesus intended for it to be. In other words, there are no disciples of Jesus who are not willing to take up their cross and follow Him. All right? It is a must. It is mandatory that you must take up, deny self and take up His cross, and that needs to be done daily. Okay? This is not a one and done situation. Okay? Jesus died on the cross. That was a one and done, as we've been studying in our lesson in Hebrews, right? That was a one-time thing. It was done. It never has to be done again. But for us, it's not a one and done. It's an everyday way of life. To take up our cross daily and to follow Him. Okay? Now, here's the part that I really want to focus on. I really want to challenge your thinking on this. Because we talk about, a lot of times, we hear people talking about the cross that I have to bear. Okay? Again, the question is, what does it mean to you to take up your cross daily and follow Him, or to bear a cross? All right? Here's a modern definition. In other words, this is what most folks think when they talk about the idea of carrying a cross, all right? The meaning of that today for most people is a problem or issue that you have to deal with alone. And people will say it in terms of, this is the cross I have to bear. So the example that they have here is, I wish Helen hadn't told me her big secret last week. Notice, it's a horrible cross to bear. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people look at the idea of carrying or bearing a cross. It's a hardship that I have to endure because of this or that or whatever the circumstance. The problem with that is that couldn't be further from what Jesus meant when He said, take up your cross and follow Me. Rose Kennedy, and I bring this up because her statement really expresses how this concept is used today. And for those who don't know who she is, she was John F. Kennedy's president, John F. Kennedy's mother. Okay? And she was a very prominent person in the Catholic Church. And here's what she said. I have always believed that God never gives a cross to bear larger than we can carry. No matter what, He wants us to be happy, not sad. Birds sing after a storm, why shouldn't we? Do you see what that really is saying? God gives us a cross to bear, meaning I got to carry this. It's a hardship, it's a difficulty, but once I get through the storm, then everything's going to be fine. That is not what the biblical concept, it's not what Jesus meant when He said, take up your cross and follow Me. Nobody in Jesus' day would have ever understood the concept of picking up the patibellum at one place and carrying it to another and laying it down and go, okay, and then going about their business, being happy, not sad. You say, that concept would never have crossed anybody's mind in Jesus' day. You never picked up the cross and carried it to a certain place and laid it down as punishment, quote unquote, or something you had to endure, hardship, and then put it down and went on about your business. Everybody understood if you were carrying a cross, you were taking it to the place that you were going to die on. Quite simply, that's what everybody understood. So we really need to be careful of this idea of looking at carrying our cross as some hardship or burden that we have to put up with or bear for a certain time, hoping that eventually I'll get through this and everything will be okay. That is not picking up your cross daily and following Jesus. Okay? I want to impress that upon you. Make sure you understand. Carrying a cross means death. And that's what Jesus calls upon us to do. Jesus calls those who would allow, who would follow Him to die for Him, quite simply. Okay? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Me and for the gospel will save it, He says. So it's all about losing our life. It's not about some difficulty or hardship that we have to put up with. Take up your cross, in other words, was not a call to hardship. It was a call to death. Right? It was a call to die to ourself, to our selfishness, to our sin, and to live for Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said, if you want to be My disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me, He meant to follow Him to death. The question then becomes, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to die for Jesus? Okay? Are you a fan? Or are you a follower of Jesus? Fans rally and they, you know, wave signs and all those kind of things, and they cheer and so forth. The followers carry a cross to the place where they're going to die. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Ray has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. It's an opportunity for all of us to reflect on that question. What am I? Am I a fan or am I a follower? Am I really willing to die in following Jesus? Take up my cross on a daily basis, not a one and done. It's an opportunity for us to really examine those things in our life and to ask, maybe you need some guidance, some encouragement, some help to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. There's someone, I think everybody that's here this morning is already a Christian, but perhaps somebody that's worshiping with us online is not yet a Christian. You desire to become one. The opportunity is there for you to do so. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that as soon as is possible with you. All you have to do is contact us and let us know, and we will make that happen as quickly as we can for you. As we sing this song, Wesley's phone number and my phone number will be on the bottom of the song screens. And you can text either one of us if you have a prayer request. Anyone here that has a prayer request that you would like us to address, all you got to do is let us know. Let's stand together and sing. Ray?